Trouble could be brewing elsewhere in Africa. In just under 2 weeks, the people of South Sudan will hold a referendum on independence. It's expected they will vote to split from the rest of Sudan, and some fear a return to war. North and South Sudan fought a 22-year-long civil war. Millions of people were killed before the conflict ended in 2005. But today, Omar al-Bashir, the president of Sudan, welcomed the January 9th vote. He said, "We tell our brothers in the south, if you want unity, you're more than welcome. And if you want separation, you are also welcome." Many southern Sudanese who fled the north during the war certainly haven't felt that brotherly love over the years. Since the war's end, many have flooded back south. And recently, more are returning to take part in the referendum on independence. But being back in their homeland isn't easy either. Sean Carberry from PRI's America Abroad reports.
The port in Juba is little more than a flat strip of dirt among a grove of trees. The White Nile River meanders by. Small barges float up and unload shipping containers full of food and supplies, since just about everything here is imported. Boats also pull up carrying families and all of their possessions. Many of them are getting off and setting up camp. The port's become a veritable shanty town. The lucky ones here have tents, but the rest are sitting out in the open with everything they own.
My name is Raymond Mindy, and we went to Khartoum in the north, not for personal interest, but because there was war.
Mindy and his family fled the south in 1992. Sitting on his metal bed under a tree, he describes his life in Khartoum. His family's clothing, furniture, and personal items sit in a pile next to him.
I was in a camp called Jebel Ulia. There was about 5,000 families who were staying there. And in order to survive, the women, especially those without husbands, would work doing laundry or housekeeping. Other men and I were builders. We used to go and do small contracts for a few days to earn something for the family.
He says that most people in the Khartoum camp lived in tents and received some help from aid organizations, but for the most part they had to fend for themselves as second-class citizens in their own country. Over the years, the UN, the government of South Sudan, and groups like the International Organization for Migration helped resettle people to the south, but they have limited resources. Of the more than 2 million people who have returned to the south, only about 10% to 15% have come through organized resettlement programs. And those who made the trip on their own haven't returned to much.
I arrived on the 8th of September, and I can't afford to leave. I can't take my family back to my homeland where I wanted to go.
Joyce Nafisa Abraham and her three children have been living under a makeshift tent for months.
We survive on the food that was given to us by an aid organization. We were also given £700 before we left, and this is the money that I used to survive for all the time that I am here.
700 Sudanese pounds is about $250. That's what she was given in Khartoum to help her pay her way home. But once she arrived in Juba, there was no one to help her. She fled fighting in 1989. Her husband stayed behind and eventually died in the war in 1992. So Joyce had to do whatever she could to survive in the north.
I was brewing alcohol to earn money for the children to survive and to send them to school.
But alcohol is illegal under the Islamic laws of North Sudan.
We were not at all free in the north. In many cases, the security men would come and we were sometimes arrested and charged for brewing alcohol.
After one arrest, Abraham spent a month in jail. Her children were left alone. Now they all live together in a tent next to the river. Government officials say they don't have the resources and capacity to help everyone coming back, and aid organizations are slowly ramping up programs to help returnees. But for now, that's of little help to Joyce or people like Archangelo Biddy. Biddy's sitting under a tree about 100 feet away from Joyce. He's surrounded by his wife, 11 children, and all of their possessions. He went north in 1969. When the North and South signed the peace agreement in 2005, he started saving money to return home.
I thought wise, because there's now peace stability in my place in southern Sudan, so I bring my children back to my homeland.
He was hoping to return to the South years ago, but he just couldn't afford it. Despite all of this, he, like many others here, sounded a note of optimism about being back in the South.
I found that people are so free, children can play all over, they can move all over, and we really realized that people are enjoying total happiness and not like in Khartoum. What we are suffering from is, as you can see right now, if it rains, the rain will rain on us here. But despite that, we are happy because we have reached our place.
And later that night, as if on cue, a storm rolled in and drenched Juba, and everyone camped out at the port. For The World, I'm Sean Carberry in Juba, South Sudan.